सो वर्स नंबर 19, यस्य सर्वे समारंभाः काम संकल्प वर्जिताः ज्ञानाग्निदग्ध कर्माणम् तमाहुः पंडितं बुधा। टुगेदर यस्य सर्वे समारंभाः काम संकल्प वर्जिताः ज्ञानाग्निदग्ध कर्माणम् तमाहु पंडितं बुधाः। सो तमाहु पंडितं बुधाः, बुधाः मीन्स द वाइज पर्सन, कॉल हिम और हर अ पंडित। व्हाट इज पंडित, विल टॉक अबाउट दैट, बट हु इज अ पंडित? पंडित मीन्स अ स्कॉलर, अ वाइज पर्सन हु हैज अंडरस्टूड द स्क्रिप्चर्स एंड फुल्ली अप्लाइड इट। सो हु इज अ पंडित? यस्य, यस्य मीन्स ऑफ होम, द सिक्स्थ केस। सर्वे समारंभाः, सर्वे मीन्स ऑल, समारंभाः मीन्स ऑल अंडरटेकिंग्स। सी अंडरटेकिंग इज अ वर्ड आरंभ भगवान यूजेज इन मेनी प्लेसेज इन द गीता। सर्वारंभ परित्यागी यो मद्भक्त समे प्रिय, ही सेज इन द 12th चैप्टर। आरंभ और अंडरटेकिंग मीन्स, आरंभ ऑफ कोर्स इन हिंदी और अदर इंडियन लैंग्वेजेस मीन्स टू बिगिन, बट इन संस्कृत आरंभ मीन्स अंडरटेकिंग। सो आई मे ईदर बिगिन अ प्रोजेक्ट और आई मे अंडरटेक, ओके दिस पर्सन इज वर्किंग, आई जॉइन हिम टू हेल्प हिम, और दिस पर्सन इज नॉट एबल टू फिनिश, आई हेल्प हिम टू फिनिश। So I could start a project, I could work on a project, or I could finish a project. We are called undertaking, anything that I undertake. So this wise person's all undertakings are kama sankalpa varjitaha. Kama means desires. Sankalpa, Gurudev translates as planning or purpose. Also sankalpa is also meant as fanciful imagination. So his activities are free of desire and free of planning. So he said, how can I do an activity without desire, without planning? Yes. Why? Jnana Agni Dagda Karmanam. All his karmas are burnt in Jnana Agni Dagda. Dagda means burnt. Jnana Agni means in the fire of knowledge. All his activities get burnt. Such a person is called a Pandit. So let us think about it. What does he mean by desire and planning? He says it does not, that means I should not plan like now for to teach. I start from Friday evening. Friday evening I study, then Saturday, yesterday, especially this verse took me so much time to think. And then again this morning I came and wrote on the board. If I show up without planning, then I won't be able to. But what they are saying is that when they say without desire and planning, yes, you plan out your action, but then while you are working, you no longer think in the future. Like now, whatever we are doing, if all, at this moment I start thinking, you know, after this class, I have to have lunch and then I have to go here, and then my mind won't be on what I'm doing right now. So they are saying, while you are doing whatever you are doing, have your attention on that. That's why Gurudev says, keep your mind where your hands are. What we do is that already while I'm working, I'm already thinking, if I get this, you know, what will happen? If I don't get this, what will happen? Or fanciful imaginings, you know, if I do this, then that person will do that, and then that person will be thankful, and then that person will help. Suppose that person is not thankful or doesn't help. That's called fanciful imagining. I am already projecting what other people will do as a result. And when the other people don't do, then I get miserable, then I get unhappy. So they say any activity, if you do it either with a selfish desire or while I'm working, I am already planning future, then such activities will not be efficient. So if you want to be efficient, you focus on what I am doing right now, do it to the best of your ability. And always keep the divine in mind. Always remember the Lord. Lord, you are working. I am here because of you. I am all the time thankful to God, and always remember God and keep the divine. Then your actions become divine. That's what they say. When you are have the divine with you at all times, then your actions become pure. And that's what the saints, they always, that's why Mirabai said, Mere to Giridhar Gopal, dusara na koi. I only know Krishna Bhagwan. I don't know anybody else. And that's why the nuns also say, you know, I am married to Jesus. The idea is that I am doing what Jesus is telling me. I am doing what Krishna is telling me. So that is the idea. And the word Pandit, actually in India, it is very much abused, misused. Like people will go to a panwala. Are pan Pandit ji, jara do pan laga dena. Are you are calling a panwala Pandit. So the point is that the word Pandit is so much misused in India. Anybody and everybody is called Pandit. So when somebody is called Pandit, you have to know what is the meaning. That's why he says Buddha, the wise people call him Pandit. Anybody can, it's like the example I always think about. It's like in the soccer, you know, in AYSO, every kid gets a trophy. You know, you have noticed, or whether you are losing team, winning team, the last team, every, and so there's no, how can you tell which team won? And there, nobody knows, but everybody gets a trophy. But on the other hand, you know, if you win the Super Bowl, now that Super Bowl trophy, a ring, is worth something. Or if you win the Olympics, where you are the best in the world. So who is giving the trophy? Is it AYSO or is it the International Olympic Committee? That determines the value of the trophy. So similarly, who is calling Pandit? Is it this panwala, you know, the guy on the sea street, or the wise people? So Bhagavan says the wise people call a Pandit one who gives up undertakings, without works, without selfishness, without thinking about the future, does he plans his action, then does the best. And what in the fire of knowledge, all his selfishness gets burnt. It's not that his karmas get burnt. He does not stop working. He says, Jnanagdi dagda karmanam. Karmanam means his selfish activities get burnt in the fire of knowledge. What is it I am supposed to do? What is it I am not supposed to do? He knows. From whom, where does the guidance come? From the scriptures. From within, from the Lord within, and from the scriptures. Then his selfishness goes away. And then he is no longer working for fame or name. You know, what will people think? Or are people watching me? You know, then I will do good. If nobody is watching, then I will do dishonor. No, this is the right thing to do, whether somebody is watching or not. And I'm not doing it for personal name or fame. It is the right thing for society, right thing for others. That's why I'm doing it. And they say a wise person creates no fear. First of all, he himself becomes fearless. When I'm doing the right thing, why should I be afraid? If I have told the truth, then there is nothing to be afraid. But when I lie, then I have to hide it. Then I worry about. Not only that, but a saint does not create fear in others because he is just loving. And so there is no fear either in the saint's mind and nor in others. And such a person that has no eye or mind, like in Gurudev's case, there's a lot of people who studied under Gurudev, went out and started their own mission, you know, and they said, Gurudev, that person, you know, your student, he has started a separate mission and he's calling it. Gurudev says, how does it matter? He's doing my work anyway. Whether he calls it Chenmaya mission or he calls it some other mission, it is my work means it is the work that I have taught him. And he's doing it. And so he had no problem. Anybody wants to, he says, you want to stay. That's why this course, they teach free for 2 years. And there is no requirement that you have to stay in the mission. The staying is free. The food is free. The teaching is free. Afterwards, if you want to stay in the Chinmaya mission, fine. You want to go and start your own, is fine. Actually, I was talking to my friend Scott Rivera. Some of you may know him. He comes on TV. And he gave a very interesting topic. At that time, we were building the mission and there was opposition from certain people. So he says, yes, if there is a Walmart and a target is built across the street, that is competition. Yes, the target will take away some of Walmart. But if there is one church here and a church built across the street, people say, oh, people from my church will go to that. How does it matter which church? As long as they are remembering Jesus. As long as they are, if there's one church, it's good. If there are 12 churches, it is 12 times better. It's not that there is competition, but it is God's work is going on in 12 different places. So the more it is better. Otherwise, you know, in business, we always think, you know, another doctor came across the street, my business will get less. But another church came, that's better. If half of them come here, half go there, so what? They're all doing God's work anyway. So this teaching is given to Arjuna and through Arjuna given to all of us. Because Arjuna did not know what his duty was. So Bhagavan is explaining, and through Arjuna he's telling us that what is our duty, how we should work in the world, always remembering the Lord, and then not judging people that, oh, this guy is not working, that guy. We do not know what the people are doing, so understand the whole situation. And it is mostly, this knowledge is for me. This Bhagavad Gita is not, you know, my wife, my husband, he should come to this class, you know. He needs it. No, I need it, that's why I'm here. See, I needed it, that's why I am sitting here, because I needed this knowledge and we all need it. So this point is that this teaching that Bhagavan is giving is for me, not for my husband or my child or my neighbor. But it is, yes, if we can encourage more people to come, that is good, to spread this knowledge. But ultimately, we should understand it is for me. So we have talked about the karma. Akarma, inactivity and forbidden activity, and how even in action you may think this person is working but he's doing the wrong thing, or this person may be sitting still but still doing a lot of good, you know, for others. And how when we are working we should not have selfish desire and live in the present, not in the future. And also don't have regrets about the past. Last year I tried to do it, I couldn't. So then this year also you won't. So that is the essence of these three verses. We have about 10 minutes. Any questions? See, these verses are not... Here, listening one time won't become that clear. Because for me also, I had to read so many times. So please go home and think about it. Read Gurudev's commentary if you have. Or if you want, you can listen to these words again. Tony will be putting them online in the next couple of days. So listen again and think about it. Go home and read what Gurudev has written and then think. Think. Gurudev always used to say, think. Because just listening alone is not going to make it clear. Listening with attention and then going home and thinking about what did he mean by action? What does Krishna mean by inaction? What does Bhagavan say that inaction? And how should I do my actions? So that is called Nididhyasana. So listen, think, and then bring it into your life. So please read it again. And please think about it. Yes.
I have a question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question that doesn't refer to these questions, but when you were talking about Shankaracharya, it sounded from your description, people like Shankaracharya.
Yes.
Among us right now.
Yes. Oh, yes, there are a lot of real life. In Thursday's class, somebody asked me, you know, of course, Shankaracharya, we consider him as a manifestation of Lord Shankara, of Lord Shiva. It's said his, when his mother was pregnant, before they got pregnant, they actually worshipped Lord Shiva, his parents. And Lord Shiva said that I will appear in your womb. So she knew that it is a manifestation. But somebody asked me on Thursday's class, how many? And it is impossible to tell. Unless you are realized, you cannot tell whether another person is realized or not. And there are so many people. Of course, there are people who are in the monasteries or who are in the churches, very evolved souls in the, you know, in the Buddhist monasteries, in the missions and everywhere. But there may be a person next to you sitting and maybe a highly evolved. So it is very difficult to judge who is realized or who is not, just based on their actions. So a realized person knows himself or can tell another person is realized. But really, I mean, you know, they don't have to have shaven head and orange clothes. You know, they could be a housewife or could be a, like the one who got me in this teaching. And this is a housewife. She's in Ann Arbor, brilliant lady. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have met her. Very good, Shardaji, very good. She's a housewife. She has three daughters and her husband works and she has been working for the mission. Great teacher. Highly evolved soul. So it doesn't necessarily, they don't have to everybody wear orange clothes or have a priest's habit. But yeah, I mean, that helps. If you give up the family and devote your time, but even while in the family, you can do this. Thank you. That's a good question. That made me think when she asked how many realized people are there. I even went home and asked Neeru that this is what she said. So what is your opinion? I try to do that. You know, when some question is not clear, I ask Swamiji when I meet them, you know, like that.
If there are realized manifestations of God, okay, so what does that make us?
We are also manifestations of God, but we are not realized. We don't know we are that. That is, I mean, intellectually you have heard it. I have heard it. But do I actually experience it? Do I know it as me? That I am divine. I have heard it, but does it come in my actions? Such a person, you just sit in his presence, you know you're sitting in the presence of God. Like Eckhart Tolle, I've gone for a week, I've done a week retreat with him. When you sit there, you know that this is a divine soul that is sitting in front of us. Also, you know, Tejomayananji, Guruji, when you sit in his presence, when you hear him talk. So the point is that we all know we are manifestation of divine, but we do not express that in our actions. So we know it intellectually, but we do not have the wisdom. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is I know it. Wisdom is I bring it into my life. So that is the idea of teaching and studying, that we should also become like Gurudev or Shankaracharya or Jesus or Buddha. That's why Bhagavan says, Janma karma yame divyam yo veti tatvatah. So one who knows my birth and my actions in essence, he is a wise person. So I not only have to study what Bhagavan Krishna taught, but I have to bring it into my life, then only. And it has to be a 24-hour a day. Gurudev, one place he says, it cannot be only on Sundays. You know, Sunday you listen and it's very clear, and by Monday it's gone. You know, then somebody says, what did we talk on Sunday? I don't know. Something about karma, you know. I think he said karma. So that's why it cannot only be Sunday, just going to church. It has to be 7 days a week. Good question. Thank you. Yeah.
The whole idea of postponing learning, studying, you know, sometimes it's like postponing gratification.
Right.
This can be a real positive thing. I mean, is there something to be said for postponing, actually devoting yourself to full study? I mean, if you have too many things going on in your life,
true.
Maybe you have a child, you just have to.
Right.
Maybe they're sick or something, so you have to really study, and you can't.
No, it's very true. It's a very good point. Because, yeah, if you have a child who is sick and I'm supposed to meditate, you know, but now my child is throwing up, so I take him to the doctor and I couldn't study, or I missed the class, or then I'm doing my duty at that moment, taking care of the child. And if I do it as God's work, not why do I have to take care of this sick child all the time, why do I, you know, why am I stuck with this sick child, then it becomes, you know, tamasic activity. But if I do it as God's work, God is here in who came in my womb as this child, then even that action can become spiritual study. So yes, you could at the, for that, but it should not become an excuse to indefinitely postpone. Oh, I'm so busy right now, I don't have time to study, I don't have time to meditate, but I have time to be on my phone, you know, for hours and Google and search. So it should not be become an excuse for postponing. But yes, if it's a true emergency, definitely. So because that is also becomes a bondage. It's a sattvic bondage that, oh, I have to study, I have to meditate, and I couldn't do it, and then whole day I'm miserable because my child was sick. No. Yes, in that situation you can postpone it, but it should not become indefinite. Not become an excuse for all the time for not studying. You know, I'm so busy. Well, we have time to talk half an hour on the phone, but I don't have half an hour to read the Bhagavad Gita. So, yes, it's a good point. Thank you.